Good morning and welcome to the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Mettendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. This morning's show is being brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. Phone lines are open now. Call 395-1450. That's 395-1450. It's the WHTC Outdoor Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Outdoor Show. This edition of the Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zeeland, Farmers Co-op in Hudsonville, Westonbrook Mower, Powderhorn Guns and Archery, West Michigan Bow Hunters, and My Firearms ETS. You're listening to the Outdoor Show live right here on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown outdoor station. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 395-1450. I'm Tom Mettendorf. Tim Becker of Powderhorn Guns and Archery is not here with us this morning.
No surprise.
But he's out on the big lake fishing, and he's going to give us a call a little later. I'm here with Dave Lommer of from Advantage Marine in Zeeland. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 395-1450. How are you this morning, Dave?
I'm doing good.
Excellent. You know, I was kind of curious because I saw this Facebook post this past week about this tournament that went on down by Michigan City, Indiana.
Yeah.
And you guys, there were you were part of the team out there.
Team JJ, Jim Swansea is charter captain. It's, you know, those charters. And, yeah, I had the privilege, and I will say the privilege, that they asked me to come along. That was the first time I'd been down there.
And it was kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, once you got by the cold.
But now, did you take the boat down the whole way?
Yeah, they had run the boat down, actually, the week before.
Oh, okay.
And then they had a charter on Thursday. They pre-fished on Friday. And then I came down Friday night, and we did the tournament Saturday and Sunday.
Nice. And there were three things that you guys took home.
Yeah.
Three prizes, whatever.
Well,
however you...
You had fifth place, which where we finished on the pro side out of 22 boats. And I guess what you got to understand and what I kind of learned, this... Kind of it is the first tournament of the year.
Did you have to dodge any icebergs?
No, no. But that's where the big boys go, you know.
All the big boys go to the first one?
Yeah. There was, in boats, the money sitting there, some of the boats out there, it was impressive.
Big
yeah.
Nice boats.
Big, nice fishing boats, Tierras. Nice. And
wow.
Yeah, so... But, yeah, we ended up fifth overall on the pro side. We did win the 3-3-3, which is you weigh your biggest fish, your three biggest fish. And we took that, and then we also took the biggest fish on the pro side.
So you got big fish, the 3-3-3, and fifth place.
Yep.
Fifth place isn't so bad, but does it pay out to fifth?
Pays out the fourth.
That's brutal.
No wonder you said it's really not that special.
Yep.
Because that's like, what, first place loser?
Kissing your sister.
The tie game and all that stuff.
Yep.
That's a bugger. Right out of the money.
Yep. One place out of the money.
Because that's got to take a chunk of change to take the boat all the way down there.
Let's just say burn through a lot of gas.
Yeah. How long does it take with a regular, you know, with a big boat for charter fishing?
I don't know exactly. I never did ask Swansea how long it took him actually to get down there.
It's got to be a little trip.
I would think so, because you're probably cruising 28 miles an hour or so.
Mm.
If he's really pushing it, he maybe was doing a little over 30. But
so 28 miles an hour from Holland, he's maybe in South Haven in 45 minutes?
Oh, yeah. If it's calm, I know you can run South Haven 45 minutes.
So it's got to be, if you think about it time-wise, to get to South Haven, go 45 minutes. He was on the water for a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, I was going to guess about three.
Okay.
It was kind of surprising because when we were out there fishing, the water down there was actually 46 to 48.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be that warm.
Wow.
But
I wouldn't think it'd be that warm yet either.
I do know when they got by like Saugatucker or Holland got by the pierheads, and that was only like 37 out in Lake Michigan and 39 at the pierheads.
Really?
So
that's some chilly water.
Yeah, I've been putting boats in and that, and I had my hands down in Lake Mack. Not that I really want to go swimming in that lake anyway. You really don't want to get in that lake either. It is not warm out there yet.
Well, I've been seeing a lot of Facebook posts for people that are out there fishing already and coming in with successful days, you know, where they're coming in with the fish and they're enjoying it and having fun. But it just seems to me like it's just not fishing season yet because it's so cold all the time. I mean, Wednesday, or was it Thursday? Thursday, 80 degrees. I mean, that was that seemed more like fishing time.
But yeah.
It's just chilly. It's chilly, which puts you behind, doesn't it?
It's been a long winter. It's been a long winter.
Because everybody now wants their boat in the water. And you got to get all them boats in the water.
Working on it. It's...
If it gets pretty warm before we get to Memorial Day, do a lot of people get out there boating? Or do most people get their boats out before Memorial Day and work on them, get them ready?
A lot of people normally, and I'll say normally because let's face it, this year's not...
It's just different.
Yeah, you know, but on one hand, they say this is what it was like, you know, going 20, 30 years back, this was more common, but it hasn't been that way for a long time. A lot of people want to, you know, they look as Memorial Day as a boating weekend.
Right, right. Yeah, because National Boater Week kicks off next weekend and leads right up to Memorial Day week.
Okay.
So that's their National Boating Safety Week or however it's stated. And we're going to have Eli and Cal on, Cal from the Ottawa County Sheriff, and then Eli from Coast Guard. They're going to be here to talk about that because they're going to do some boat inspections. Now, people do those boat inspections, but you, when you take people's boats out of storage and so on, you have to do certain things, inspect them, and help them out with that. Is that quite an extensive list?
Most of them, I'll be honest with you, most of the stuff I take out, we winterized.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get real extensive because we should have done it back in the fall, kind of looked over. But I still usually, you know, obviously hook the battery up and usually just go back through, check the fluid levels and, you know, tell them to check the belts, just make sure they're still tight.
Just make sure everything's... kind of kosher before they get out on the water.
You know, look around, you know, see if there's oil. You know, sometimes you get oil leaks have been setting, like prop shaft seals or something. You'll have a spot where the lower unit was setting per se. I mean, it's just a good idea to look around. You know, obviously
before you hook up and drive out, check the whole thing and make sure nothing's happening around it.
You know, I've always said to people, you know what, start up in your driveway. Nothing worse than getting to the water and finding out the boat don't start. You know, and it has sat for 6, 7, 8 months. Yeah, I know it was running when you put it away. But sometimes things happen, you know.
Just doesn't work out the way you want it to.
Yeah, if there's, you know, there's corrosion somewhere, something corroded, now you ain't getting a good connection on something or... Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's crazy. You think, well, this thing's been setting. It's setting, you know, the majority of people put their stuff in a dry place.
Right, right. But even the battery with cold temperatures, if it's stored in the cold, could have lost a cell. And now you got some lights on and so on. You think we're good to go. You get out there and you hit the key and it goes whomp.
What we've seen, you know, unless somebody didn't disconnect the battery or maybe they stuck it away dead, which is not good. A battery can freeze.
Right.
If it's discharged, you can freeze a battery. If it's got a charge in it, that's where I've always, you know, try to tell my guys too. And you got to understand the fall, you're busy, you know, get this boat done, get this boat.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, these guys might be doing, if you're a complete winterization on a stern drive, you're still probably doing 3 a day. But if you start doing, you know, less a basic winterize or doing outboards and that, you can easily do 5, 6 boats a day. So you're just, But, you know.
That's per person.
Per person. And it's, you know, like I like to tell them to charge the battery. And if we know it's got a dead battery, we try and tell the customer, hey, this battery's dead. You really should need to charge it. But in the spring, majority of the time what we see is a lot of times we can hook the battery up and it'll fire up. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, chances are that battery's junk. And you, a lot of times you look at them and you'll see that, yeah, it's an older battery. It's 4, 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah, I had some that were 6 years old.
That's good.
And they were still working good, but I was worried about getting out on the water and then have them not work.
Right.
So at that point, I looked at the, because I didn't pay attention to the tag, and I looked at the tag and said, ooh, these are 6 years old. We need to replace these.
Yeah, yeah. And it's crazy because you get bad. There's some of them will last forever, you'd swear. And there's others, you get them about 3 years. 3 years, and they're not good. But
I've always had good luck with my deep cycles. I have less luck with my regular ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the deep cycles, I've always had good long time with them. So, but that tends to make you kind of take a risk with them. Anyway, we'll get back to it in just a minute. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Westonbrook Mower, where they service what they sell. All units are ready to use when they leave the store, and Westonbrook submits your warranty information so you don't have to. Stop into the Holland or the Jennison store, check them out on your computer at westonbrookmower.com, or call them at 616-396-5733. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by West Michigan Bow Hunters, protecting our hunting rights and educating the next generation about our hunting heritage here in Michigan. West Michigan Bow Hunters is a chapter of Safari Club International. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here with Dave Lommer, and we are talking about boats and boating and getting out there on the water. And people are going, brrrs, across their hands, across their bodies, and saying, it's too cold for that. Not really, if you think about it.
Yeah, if you dress warm enough.
Yeah. I think we've just been babied for, as you said earlier, the past 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the biggest thing is the wind. That just goes through.
You're getting soft, Tom. You're getting soft.
I said to Lucas, I said, we should go fishing. And then I said, eh, maybe not. It's kind of cold out. He says, what are you talking about? We've been out there fishing for crappie in November with hail coming down. The bottom, he called it hail because it was it wasn't truly hail, but the snow, when it's the little pebble-like snow, it just covered the whole bottom of the boat. We had Carhartts and stocking caps on. We got pictures. My wife loved, you know, she does the picture thing.
Well, you just got to have the ice fishing mentality when you go out there. You're going to be cold.
No, ice fishing, most of them go sit in a shanty.
That's true.
With a heater.
That's true. They're warm.
Most of them do. I did the ice fishing thing for a while. We didn't have a shanty. We didn't have warm. It was cold out there. But you go out there, and it's not such a windy day. You know, it's you sit there, and the sun comes down on your Carhartts. It's not so bad.
No.
But just fishing, you know, getting out there and fishing. We used to fish much more, but I've been so busy with everything that we just haven't, you know, with the kids being in college and having classes and studying and all that. And it just doesn't always pan out. But you go through those phases. As soon as they're done with all that and out of my house, I can go fishing. Maybe when I'm retired.
Yeah. You going to retire?
Maybe retire from something and go to something else. I don't know that I'm ever not busy.
No. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, where'd the winter go? I think you're taking it easy. Next thing you know, you're...
Yeah, it was a really long winter.
Yeah, I know it was.
And we're wondering where it went. How did it disappear so quick?
But it wasn't long enough because I wasn't done.
This happens too.
Yep.
Anyway, we were when we got done, we were talking about checking out the boat and the batteries going dead and so on. And I was just thinking with the batteries, I set up a shelf and I got the charger there. And what I do is I rotate the charger on a trickle charge on those batteries so that they don't go down and be dead and then freeze. And so that keeps a little charge in them. And they go a couple weeks at a time, you know, as I rotate them through. Probably every 5 to 7 days that I rotate the trickle charger, and that's just to recondition them as the winter goes along. Yep. And I found one that didn't work when I took it out this spring. I'm like, what the heck? I've been rotating that thing and the charger read fine, but it doesn't always mean it's going to be perfect.
Right. Yeah, you'll have a battery that it'll keep taking a charge, but that's what it'll do. It'll just keep taking a charge and taking a charge.
Just keep taking it.
Yeah, because it's got a bad cell. And
yeah, doesn't give you anything back.
Nope. Nope.
Like kids. Actually, you're a grandpa, so they give back.
Yes, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it very much.
Yeah, my kids give back too. I'm just kidding.
Don't have to apologize. They're not listening.
This is true. They're probably sleeping. They're just taking a nap. Anyway, we've went around the boat and we checked the boat out and make sure there's no oil spots or anything laying underneath. We check, make sure the battery's charged up. We go to put it in there. We take the boat out. What other things do we have to do pending whether we did those things in the fall or not, just to make sure the boat's ready to rock and roll?
Well, I guess, like you just said, you look it over.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, fire it up.
But, put the ears on?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about when people fire it up just for a little bit without the ears on? What happens?
Well, you got this little impeller.
The little rubber impeller that goes on the
shaft. Yeah. Yeah. On smaller boats, outboards and that, obviously it's on the dry shaft right above the lower unit, but they're in a metal cup and rubber. Well, if you kind of fire it up dry, yeah, you'll burn it. Normally you can burn them out and you're pushing if you're running 30 seconds without water.
Because that friction on the outside of that impeller, yeah, it wears that rubber down too quick, right?
Right, right. Now, I have said to people, okay, you can crank it over. And this is more like with the big inboard boats, the ones that you're setting on stands for the winter and that, and it's a little harder to get water to them. You got a, looks like a plunger, but...
Mm-hmm.
And in some buildings, you just don't have water supply real close by.
Right.
If you crank them over, make sure they, crank. Obviously, you want the engine to turn over. But I always say to them, if they do start or if you are going to start it, as soon as it starts, just turn the key off, be done. I'm not saying that's the best way to do it. But if you think you're going to do it without water, the minute that thing fires, shut it off. Don't leave it running. Because obviously once it's running, it's also spinning at higher RPMs too. And that's just going to,
Right, right.
But, a set of muffs, not that expensive. The only thing you got to be careful is you turn the water on. You've had it before too where the water will come and they'll blow off. They'll move.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously make sure it stays over top of the inlets.
Right. Typically what I do is my sons are helping me. I'm not alone. And then one of my sons, whichever one's helping me, will turn the faucet on so it's got pressure on there so the water's pushing in there by the pump. Then I start it, and once I start it, they increase the pressure a little bit. But it doesn't have to be full blast.
Oh, no, no.
It just has to be enough that it keeps pressure on where the pump is so that it's feeding the water to it.
Yeah. And the impellers... The manufacturers, if you read, they all say they want you to check it once a season every 100 hours.
Okay.
Around here up in Michigan, if you're a fisherman, you might push it 5-6 months using the boat.
Because you're using it all the time.
Right. But for pleasure boaters and that, we've kind of gone with it, and over the years, and I'll say it, I've learned it from, talking with other technicians that have been in it. And we kind of tell people, if you do it every 3 years, for most people, obviously some fishermen are putting 100 hours on. I'm still not saying every year, but you might want to do it every other year. And I think the manufacturers do that because they're protecting themselves.
Right, right. Yeah, so they want to make sure that you don't blow everything up because you didn't cool it.
Right.
Anyway, we'll be back in a little while. Farmers Co-op Elevator in Hudsonville is your food plot headquarters with over 40 different seed varieties to choose from, providing in-house soil testing as well as fertilizers, lime, and equipment to plant, maintain, and get maximum performance out of your food plot. Visit Farmers Co-op at 3302 Prospect Street in Hudsonville. For a complete list of products and services, check them out online at fcelevator.com. The lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery for all your arrow-knocking, gun-cocking, fish-hooking, flag-waving, stand-up-and-sing, God bless America hunting and fishing needs. Tim, stay sitting. You're going to fall over in a boat. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We're back, ready to answer your questions right here on The Outdoor Show.
I missed the whistling, Tim.
Whistle, Tim.
Here you go, my man.
Oh, I got the wheel. I think they got a fish on.
We got a fish on.
Of course.
You're not standing up.
Right during the arrow knocking, gun cocking, all them good things, and a fish hit.
Nice. Nice.
Dude, that's amazing. So, and I'll tell you what. We've got Chief Paquette out here, and I'll tell you what. He's not just a hero of the water. He is an awesome fisherman.
He is
manhandling them. I'm pretty sure he's got a whale on right now. I'm not sure. I see him jumping.
So we're going to change from Chief Paquette to Captain Ahab.
Chief Captain Fisherman.
We'll call him Ahab.
We're just that good. You can perch this one in the boat.
Tim doesn't read, so he doesn't realize Ahab is Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, we're having a riot though, Tom.
You're not bleeding this morning, are you?
We're not. No bleeding. I almost went out of the boat once.
Only once?
Yeah, it's been a good day.
But that's okay. You got Eli there.
Yeah, we got Eli here.
If you go out of the boat, he'll throw you the ring.
Hold on one second. We're about to put another fish in the boat, and from the looks of it, we're not going to be able to keep this one.
Oh,
it's
bugger.
Too small.
So a whale on it, it's too small.
Yeah, so what does it say about you, Tim? You a little weak, or come on now?
I'm thinking Eli was just exaggerating things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Eli just put a coal hole in the boat that's, what, 7 inches?
Yeah.
Probably 7 inches. We are just knocking them dead.
So how's it, how many hits you had? Well, how's it going this morning?
We're 2 for 3.
2 for 3, so you had 3 hits, and you just started. You weren't even out there when I talked to you before the show.
Yeah, we just started. We're just going to fish for probably another half hour. Then I got to get into Powderhorn and let the fish start biting. Then I might have to call myself in sick.
I was just going to say, what do you got to go to the store for? Nobody says you have to be there.
That's true. That is true.
We're all accustomed to you not being there.
Just like this program.
But I'll tell you what, Tom, it is just beautiful out here.
Well, I was looking at the sunrise hitting the trees outside the window, because you know how we got to look up and look at tree branches. We don't get to see anything because those high windows. And
yeah,
I was thinking,
I could take a picture and send it.
Yeah, send me a picture. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But
Eli caught a really, really nice brown earlier, maybe 15 minutes ago.
Okay.
And then right when you guys picked up, we got that brown, and we missed one in between it. And, it's just been a whole lot of fun.
So I got to call Eli out on he wasn't available this week, and he went with you fishing. So I want to know, whose idea it was to go this week, you or Eli.
It was both.
Just ditching me. That means I better have some smoked fish next weekend.
Well, the one you had to let go would have just been tasty.
You want the brown trout. You don't want it smoked.
I like my brook trout, so maybe I would like that brown trout.
Yeah.
So Eli's making me a meal next weekend.
Yeah, you got it. Well,
I'm glad you're doing that for Eli.
Oh yeah, he kind of forced me to come out here. I was like, I don't really want to.
Okay, things are getting deep.
So
it's deep.
Is the water nice and calm this morning?
You know what? It's got about, what do you think, 1 foot? Less than 1 foot chop. It's just, it's nice and warm out. Sun is up, no clouds, just perfect.
And you guys didn't invite me because you were figuring it would kick up if you took Jonah with you, huh?
Right, right. Jonah is not fun to have out in the high seas here.
That happens when I go fishing with Tim. It just kicks up, and then it's no fun anymore.
Well, and I bought that nice big old salmon boat to go salmon fishing, and I went to give it a little test run last night, and it wouldn't fire up. So we're out in my little boat.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, but we're having fun. I'm sure nobody else out here is doing as well as us. We're just probably the best in the world.
You got to come see Dave with your boat, man. Get it fixed.
I know. That's my next stop.
Well, you better get it over there to Dave. Well, give him a week to get caught up. Okay, 2 weeks to get caught up.
You bet.
No, yeah, we're about 2 weeks.
You bet. Hey, Tom, I'm thinking we should get Dan and everybody from WHTC, and we should start doing this show every Saturday morning out here.
Can we do that on location out there, Dan?
That's a little bit more than just taking the station and moving it. We got some logistics we'd have to figure out. But I don't see why not.
We can find somebody to stay back and run the board, can't we?
Yeah, we can make that happen.
I was asking Chief Paquette if we could use the big Coast Guard boat and put some downriggers on it. He didn't think that was the best idea.
Well, he's the chief, so I guess, you know.
I don't know about broadcasting from the boat, per se, but we have equipment that we could take to the water that could probably work.
You kind of have to be out in the boat to do that kind of fishing. You don't do that kind of fishing from the shore or the pier.
I understand that.
Well, certain times of year you can try it in the pier.
I don't think they run a phone line out in the middle of Lake Michigan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but this is a world of wireless. This is a world of wireless. We got to be able to do something, right, Tim?
Something's got to happen.
We're going to come up with something. But then again.
First two times I tried to call, my cell phone did not work.
Oh, bugger. We got to get you a sat phone.
I agree.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Tim, thank you for calling in.
Hey, you bet. Just tell everybody to get out here and have fun. We're catching them on, well, not like we've got 100 of them, but we're catching them on spoons and body baits, so we're having fun.
Nice. Are you using the Bloody Tim or the Bleeding Tim?
No. We're in 16.1 foot of water, and the bite's been coming at 15.
Oh, so you're in close.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We had all three of our fish went within the last 20 minutes, you think, you guys? Yeah, in the last 20 minutes, and they're all in the same water. I think we just got into a school of cohos, and hopefully we're finding them a little further south. We're out by the third slider right now.
Nice.
How cold is the water?
Oh, yeah. What's the water temp?
49.2 degrees.
Well, that's better than it was last weekend.
Yeah, oh yeah, big time. Eli,
but it's closer into shore.
Yeah.
Eli said that it was about 5 miles out, 39.
Yeah, about 5 miles out, right between 38 and 42. So it came up considerably in a week.
That warm weather's working out for us.
Nice, excellent, awesome, Tim. Before you come back, push Eli overboard, okay?
He knows how to swim. He's got his little vest on and everything.
Yeah, little water wings on.
Stop on in, and I'll show you what we were using.
Yeah, we'll tell people.
All right, sounds good.
See you, Tim.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Well, that's kind of awesome. If anybody wants to know what they were using to catch the fish, head on over to Powderhorn Guns and Archery, 127 North River, and see what they were doing over there. And, Eli confirmed for us it happened during just this week at water temp. But that's still kind of chilly water.
That is chilly. That is chilly.
I didn't realize they'd be in that close for fishing right now.
They shouldn't be this time. That's more April.
Oh, really?
That just gives you an idea how far behind stuff is. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you normally, because in the past, and honestly, I don't get out there fishing a whole lot this time of the year.
Uh-huh.
But there was a time, and what we did, like he mentioned, body baits. You put them on a planer board, and when they're talking the third slider, they're between Holland and Saugatuck.
Uh-huh.
And what you would do, like the one year we were out there, you literally take with your planer boards and a body bait and just, you know, now obviously you're in that close. You're not using any lead core, no copper, no nothing.
Right.
But you try and get that over and in between your first, you got
The roll of the wake.
No, the bottom. You got your, oh man, talking about losing your memory. Sandbars.
Oh, the sandbars out there. I thought you were talking about trying to get the planer board to adjust to where your wake was.
Okay. No, you're trying to get the planer board between the sandbars because out there too, you usually got, you know, it's while you're coming in, it gets deeper, and then it gets, you know, you'll have a little bit of a sandbar where it shallows up, and then it gets deeper from the wave action coming up on shore and rolling back. And yeah, you try and fish that, and normally in April, that's where you find the browns.
Oh, nice. Now, are the browns there because the bait fish are there?
Yeah, and the cold. The browns, you don't catch very many browns very often in the summertime.
Oh, they like the cold water?
They like the cold water.
So they head out and go deeper when the summer comes?
Yes.
Okay. The Outdoor Show is brought to you by Advantage Marine in Zealand with competitive prices and personalized service to meet all your needs. Repair, storage, winterizing, parts, and more. Call Advantage Marine in Zealand at 616-748-9235 or stop in and see Dave at 8755 Riley Street in Zealand. That's at the corner of 88th and Riley on the northeast side of Zealand. Lines are open. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll be back here shortly on The Outdoor Show. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, brought to you by My Firearms ETS, educating people in the safe and responsible use of firearms since 2001. My Firearms ETS offers education, training, and supply, the best you can find anywhere. Courses offered by My Firearms ETS are designed to provide you with the knowledge, the skill, and the correct attitude to use firearms safely in all environments and situations. Classes offered regularly, classes are limited. Register early to reserve your spot, 616-218-7328. Or find them on the web at MyFirearmsETS.com. That's MyFirearmsETS.com. We're back, ready to talk with you. Give us a call, 395-1450. I'm here talking with Dave from Advantage Marine in Zealand. If you're just tuning in for the end of the show, you probably want to catch the rest of it at WHTC.com. And that's the podcast, of course. It's recorded. Dan will have it up, 30 seconds after we're gone.
20 seconds.
20 seconds. You're doubting his speed.
Anyhow, if you're in need of some boat repair, get a hold of Dave, 748-9235, or head on over and see him. Well, you might not see him very
often. You're not going to see me much right now.
You better call him, 748-9235. But the shop, the main shop is over on Riley and 88th in Zealand.
And we got Rick and John between them two answering the phone because during the spring and during the fall, I'm not around much.
Busy.
Hauling boats.
It's the boating thing.
It's the boating thing.
We were just talking about the water. Before we went, Tim called in and we talked to Tim, who's out on the lake with Chief Paquette, and they're fishing this morning. Excuse me. We were talking about that impeller.
Yep.
And every so often, you should get a check depending on how much you drive, right?
Right. And the one thing I wanted to add, but then we went to break and then we talked to Tim. Mm-hmm. Understand, I said, you know, if you do it about every 3 years, it's just kind of a safe maintenance, you know, try and preventive. But obviously, if you get where you don't belong, you might want to look at that quicker because it doesn't like sand, mud, plugged up with weeds.
Yeah. That can be hard on them. Especially the sand because it's so abrasive when it gets up inside there.
Yep.
And that can just be sand that you're turning up with your prop, right?
Yeah. You know, if you're in that shallow enough and, you know, you get some places, let's face it, like in Lake Mack, it's not somewhere there's a sandy bottom, but there's also a whole lot of muck in other areas.
That's all from the fields out by me that washed down.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I didn't tell him.
I know. But that's where you got to look at how you use the boat, what you're doing, if you're in shallow water. And
Right. Well, like with my bass boat, we get into some really shallow areas, like if we go to Martini flooding and so on, and then we just take the trolling motor to pull us through those areas, because running that prop down there, it turns up everything down below, and it kind of makes a mess. It makes the water all dark and nasty, and if you got to back out of anything, you go in reverse, and it's just pushing it all right where we want to fish.
Yeah.
So we just take the trolling motor, and we set the depth, you know, either deeper or shallow for what we're doing, and get through the stuff. But with a big boat, if you get yourself in a predicament like that, you don't usually have a little trolling motor to throw down and step on the pedal.
No.
That doesn't work very well.
No.
So you have to be careful where you're going. And there's GPSs and so on that have topographicals that can tell you approximately where, you know, you should or shouldn't be, or where channels are, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't always, you know, tell you the depth.
Right. Not the immediate depth right there.
No.
Like my fishing maps give me depths, but it doesn't mean where I'm sitting on that fishing map is exactly the same as the fishing map, because that was charted whenever it was charted.
Right.
And everything moves under the water.
Moves, with all the snow we had, the water table is actually up so far.
Right. Yeah, so that's going to make a difference out by the pier heads and so on for what the depth is and everything else, right?
Yeah, but you're more concerned in Lake Mack than out in Lake Michigan.
Right. Once you get past the shallow area by the shore, you're out. And if you're coming out the channel's dredged, and it's not that big a deal.
Right.
So you're going to be in deep water. But I'm thinking in terms of the depth for fishing and where you thought you were going to be.
Right.
Maybe a little bit further in than out and so on. But any tips to give people that are trying to take care of their boat by themselves as they take it out, that they should do besides what we talked about earlier today?
The only other thing, and, you know, kind of mention this every time we do talk, your gas. Understand just about everything at the gas stations has got ethanol in it. Okay.
It may not be E85, but there's ethanol in the gas.
Anything. You know, 87 octane, 89 octane, the 91, they're basically raising the octane by using the ethanol.
Okay.
Every year I go to Merck School, whether it's for stern drive 1 year, outboard the other. And every year they talk gas. I mean, I don't care. About the only time they don't, if you actually do an outdrive class, but you know, all the other ones. Treat the gas. You know, there's stuff out there. I mean, I realize I'm a Merck dealer, and I got what they call their quick care, and they want you to put that in every time. It's 1 ounce to 10 gallons. Just trying to keep it from phase separation, and it's alcohol. It attracts water. Boat sets on the water. You know,
it's kind of hard not to attract water.
Right. You know, and they also talk, if that gas is going to be in the gas tank longer than 30 days, they want you to stabilize it
right.
for those that don't use it that much. So I guess that's the biggest other thing, is take care of the gas.
But you've got that stuff for the gas right there at the shop, right?
Yep.
It's over on corner of 88th and Riley in Zeeland.
Yep.
And give Dave a call if you need some help with something, 748-9235. And thank you, Dave, for coming in today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Awesome. We will talk to you soon.
Yep.
We'll talk to you next week right here on The Outdoor Show.
Thanks for joining us this morning for the WHTC Outdoor Show with your host, Tom Bedendorf, the outdoor show for the whole family. Today's show has been brought to you by Powderhorn Guns and Archery. If you missed today's show or you'd like to hear it again, go online for the podcast at WHTC.com and join us next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. for the WHTC Outdoor Show on 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.